I am in a weird place. I would prefer if they went back to turn-based because I do the classic Final Fantasies. But that said, I have always liked when they branch off. Final Fantasy, that's the thing, is if you have a numbered Final Fantasy, you're traditionally those would be your turn-based RPGs, but then you'd have unnumbered ones, which would be completely different. Like you had Chocobo's Dungeon, which was a dungeon crawler, or you had what else? Dissidia, which was a fighting game, right? Aerogaze to an extent. If you had Fantasy Tactics, which was an SRPG. So it seemed like what they were doing in the past is they were always experimenting, but they were saying, here's our mainline games that are numbered. Those ones are going to follow this formula. And then we're going to have stuff like, say, Crystal Chronicles, which is more action RPG. And Crystal Chronicles was on the Nintendo GameCube. You could have four people playing at a time. It was a Phantasy Star Online style kind of game. So they'd always experimented with that. And I would prefer that they had done that. Like, for example, recently they came out with, I said this in my review of Final Fantasy 16, is, you have Final Fantasy Strangers of Paradise, and that is your kind of Souls-like Final Fantasy game, kind of like Souls or Neo, where it's about fighting these bosses and it's supposed to be hard. And so that they have Strangers of Paradise, which is a Final Fantasy game, but it's not numbered, and nobody's complaining about it, right? Nobody's saying, oh, it should have been turn-based. Nobody says that because it's not one of the numbered ones. And had Final Fantasy 16 been Final Fantasy Curse Breakers or Final Fantasy Dominant, I don't think anybody would have been complaining about it going action-based. I think the only reason people are complaining about it going action-based is because it's Final Fantasy 16 and people say, we want both. We want Final Fantasy to have the freedom to do experiments like that. But at the same time, we don't want it to lose vision of where it started and what made it a famous franchise in the past. So I'm in that boat where I would like to have both. I would like to have your Strangers of Paradise, but I would also like to have your turn-based games. And so for me, if I were director of Square Enix, or if I was the CEO of Square Enix, that's the direction I would want to push it in, where I'd say, okay, our numbered entries, we're going to go back to do classics. This is what we were known for. This is our identity. Let's do that. But let's go ahead and experiment a bit. We just won't give them numbers. We'll just give them other titles. But it's still within the franchise. That's what I would want.
I'm gonna have to ask you later because I'm gonna make that into one of the shorts. So I have to ask you, like, what would be a good video to accompany you talking about turn-based and action combat stuff?
A good one for the most recent one that would probably be Final Fantasy. Oh, sorry, World of Final Fantasy. I really enjoyed it. A lot of people didn't.
Okay.
That's because a lot of people didn't even play it. But I loved World of Final Fantasy. I thought it was great. It was cartoony, it was childish. It didn't take itself so seriously. But towards the end, it got pretty dark. I really enjoyed it. But yeah, it did not sell well at all. So
Thank you. I gotta remember that though. Let's talk about my third story and then we'll go into Adam's third story or third
sure.
commentary.
Yeah, commentary, yeah.
So my third story is about the Lenovo Legion glasses. I have not done a hardware story in a while, and this is pertinent to me because my younger brother's turning 40 next year. Adam's turning 40 next year as well at the same time because they both have the same birthday. My brother asked for the Asus ROG Ally for his birthday present, but like recently a bunch of new players have come into the sort of handheld console or handheld computer gaming space, one of them being Lenovo. So Lenovo have their gaming brand that's called Legion. You've probably heard about them. I have a 27-inch 4K monitor that I paid close to $1,000 for quite a few years ago. And Lenovo has, at that time, I was looking for a Lenovo monitor or this monitor, and I went with this monitor because it's made in Taiwan, of course. But Lenovo Legion stuff is actually pretty good. The Legion is another Steam Deck-like device. You should watch the video. The video sort of focuses on it, but the end of the video is what I want to really talk about. It has Lenovo's coming out with some Legion glasses, right? If you're married or if you have a girlfriend or boyfriend or whoever, and like you're sitting in the same room, right? And sometimes like your partner wants to watch the big TV and you want to still have that big TV experience. This is where some cool AR glasses can come in. So AR glasses are not this big headset that sort of weighs down upon you, right? They're just typical large sunglasses that you can use to play a game, and it gives you that big screen experience, right? I will mention though about the Lenovo glasses, they're only like a 27-inch experience on glasses format, but they are super light. They're not heavy. They have decent battery life. The Lenovo's came out with some glasses called the T1, and I'm going to sneeze.
Again.
A classic moment among middle-aged gaming when Korean sneezes and has to mute his mic for a long, awkward pause.
It is irritating, and I wish I didn't have allergies. But yeah, good thing I can cut out that break when I edit the video. Going back to the glasses, right, Lenovo came out with some glasses last year. They're called the Lenovo T1. They're about $500 or so. Pretty good value. But these are better because they are micro LED. So if you know anything about your monitors, right, LCD, which is like when Adam and I were in our 30s, right, LCD was a thing. Then we get into LED, which is better. Then we go into OLED, right, which is what your phones are. Then we have micro OLED, which is like the latest generation of tech, better colors, better saturation, but a lot more expensive to make. Again, made in the wonderful country that we live in. Emphasis on country. Sorry, I had to say that.
It's okay. I put it on my AC.
Yeah, micro LEDs are made just north of where we live in a city called Tainan. Very expensive, very costly to make. There's a huge fault error, like 10% of those that are coming off the factory line have to get thrown away. But yeah, so these glasses are awesome. If you are looking for a solution that, not to mention, it's like pluggable. You can plug it into your phone. So if you're in a mobile game on a bigger screen, you can do that. You can plug it into your Switch, plug it into your Lenovo Legion, of course, your IO Neo, which is another sort of handheld device. I'm pretty sure, no, you can't plug it into the PlayStation Portable because that's just for streaming. But yeah, no, really cool device, something to keep an eye out on that might actually be my birthday present to myself, right? Because I'd love to be able to game with like AR glasses in a nice, comfortable place, especially on a plane, because I'll be taking a plane to Zurich in November, which will be like more than 12 hours, which is irritating. And I hate flying so much as an older person now. But yeah, really cool. I love advancements like this. Hopefully more people will take advantage of this because it is pretty affordable. Lots of AR glasses are way more expensive. If you are thinking about getting this, let us know. Comment on the video, comment on the Instagram reel if you're watching this on Instagram, and let me know what you think.
Really curious to see how well these glasses work. One of the things that like VR headsets do is they have the lenses in them, right? And those lenses are extremely, if you look at them real close, are extremely distorted, like fisheye. And the reason for that is because with something so close to your face, it really hurts your eyes to focus on something that, or your eyes strain. That's one of the reasons why they say children in Taiwan and a lot of other Asian countries wear glasses at a far higher rate than they do around the world, because they spend so much time studying and looking at books, which granted is not that close to your face. But if you put your hands like a couple inches from your face and try to focus on them in a way that doesn't make them blurry, it's really hard to do. So the way that VR glasses get around this is they have these lenses that actually distort the light to make it in such a way that the screen to your eye appears farther away than what it really is. It's an opposite of a telescope effect, right? If you look in a telescope, everything looks bigger, but if you flip the telescope around, everything looks smaller and farther away. It basically does that, where it makes everything farther away, and then that makes it easier on your eyes to focus. But with these being AR glasses, that would be a lot harder to accomplish, to make it where it's going to be comfortable for your eye. So I'd be really curious to see. And then not only that, but if they're AR, not VR, that means that you need to be able to see through them, which means if I'm looking at my TV screen and my wife's watching TV, I'm seeing kind of my screen overlaid over top of her screen. It's not just seeing my screen. So I'd be really curious to see these glasses in action, just to see how well they actually work. Because I'm wondering right now if these are, have they made these, or are these kind of more of a concept?
So these are, you might not have noticed them, Adam, but I've seen there are a bunch of companies making these kinds of glasses. You can buy them at the moment. I have not tested anything like this. I've used VR. I've not used an AR headset. This would be, yeah. So I'm not sure. You make a very good point. Is what is the experience like? How does it affect your eyes? But no, this is not new. Like they've made a headset last year. It sold decently. This is a new, better version that's more gaming focused, right? Higher quality, like I said, micro LED lenses, higher refresh rate, better battery packs, lighter on the head. this is just an improvement all around. But yeah, no, I have not even looked at a review of the old headset, so I'm not sure. But I've seen people use these headsets. There's a company called Enreal Air, which is based in the States as well, Enreal, and they make different sort of AR headsets as well. In that has a function that allows you to block out your external vision, and you can just focus on the actual like small monitors inside the actual glasses so that you can actually just have your eyes focusing on that thing. You don't have to worry about everything else. I know for those, I would imagine Lenovo does the same thing. I'm not sure how they're going to handle that sort of two camera issue. So if you do want to look out, you can, on the Android stuff, you can hit a button and then like you can see the exterior view. But if you are sitting down next to your wife and you're playing a game, it does work because it is blocking out everything else out. So you're just looking at the actual small screens on the inside of the glasses.
Okay. I'd be wondering how they're accomplishing that. I wonder if it's actually, is it actually a screen in the lenses itself, or is it more like there's a little, say, screen over here on the side and then lenses are reflecting it. So it's actually doubling the distance between your eyes and the screen rather than direct. I'd be very curious to see how the technology works.
Me too. I'd want to try it out and just get a feel for it, but we'll have to see when it actually comes to Taiwan or when there's a alternative version from somebody else, like maybe Asus makes something or Acer, one of the Taiwanese giants, makes something like that.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to be getting anything like this and for another 10 years or so. You know. I remember when smartphones first came out. Was it the iPhone came out?
Yeah.
When did it come out? 2000?
I think the early 2000s when you would have been...
I was already in Taiwan at that point. I know that.
Okay. Oh, you were already in Taiwan then. It would have been after 2006.
Six. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So it probably came out 2006. Probably came out 2007, 2008, sometime around there. Because I remember I didn't get my first smartphone until after I was already married, which would have been 2010. Yeah. Smartphones have been around for a while before I upgraded. And even then, I got like a low-end one. But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, we will. Cool. Let's get into your commentary.
Okay. So my question basically is, I've been looking on Twitter, and there's been a lot of discussion around Starfield. So one of them is just the arguments around the reviews that it's been getting, obviously. A lot of people are saying reviews don't matter, which is an argument that we've had before, right? With what was it? I don't remember, we talked about it before where people were talking about how reviews don't matter because we were talking about review bombing. I think it had to do with Burning Shores, the Horizon Forbidden West.
That's the last time we talked about it.
Forspoken. So there was that. But also the other thing that I saw that's been a big thing is, so obviously Starfield, one of the big things about it is mods, right? That's one of the big selling points that they put on it is it's going to have these mods. It's going to be great because it's going to have these things. And so one of the things that it didn't come with was DLSS support.
Yes.
DLSS2, because they went in with
AMD.
With AMD, and somebody came out with a mod and they said, actually, because they basically had for everyone to see, they had the scripting for whatever system they were using. And so this person said, hey, since they put that out there, all I had to really do was take the DLSS support for Elden Ring, or I think the other one they mentioned was maybe Resident Evil, but these other games that recently had it, and they just basically had to copy that over and do the exact same solution that they used in those games and then just apply it to Starfield. So DLSS2 support came out almost immediately, so you can download that now. It's one of the biggest, if not the biggest mod currently on Nexus Mods. But the same person then came out and they said, you know what, I'm going to take it one step further. I'm going to make a mod for DLSS3. And so that mod is available. However, you can download it on Nexus Mods, I believe, but the only way to get access to it is to subscribe to this person's Patreon. So in effect, it making it a paid mod. And that's gotten a lot of people discussing paid mods and how or if these things should work. There's an argument on both sides where obviously the person's putting in the effort, they're putting in the work, and you are benefiting from this person's work. Therefore, it makes perfect sense that they would want to be compensated for the time that they've spent on this. That makes sense on that side. On the other end, there's the argument that you're modding something, but this is not, you don't own the IP, you don't own, you know, this. So you're basically profiting off of somebody else's property. And so because of that, then it gets sketchy with copyright kind of things, right? Where it's like saying, oh, hey, for example, back in the day, we used to be able to mod consoles, right? Where if I wanted to take when I first came to Taiwan, I had my PS2. PS2 was region locked because a lot of DVD players and that sort of thing were back then. So I couldn't buy games in Taiwan. The only way to buy games in Taiwan was I had to get my PS2 modded. But the thing is, as soon as I did that, then if I ever needed to get it repaired by Sony, it just completely invalidated any kind of warranty, or beyond that, they just won't even touch it anymore. And it's like the same thing if you jailbreak a phone, right? If you jailbreak a phone and then it gets damaged, you can't send it back to the company because they're like, you totally gone against the terms of services, right? We had terms, you broke those terms, that sort of thing. And I think in some cases, even people have gotten in trouble, or at least have been tried to be sued and that sort of thing for releasing ways to jailbreak these things. So I was just kind of wondering what your stance is on mods. Do you think people should be paid for their work? Or do you think mods are kind of something that, again, similar to what we were talking about with Final Fantasy, where you have this traditional honor among thieves, I guess you could even call it, where it was like, hey, we're all part of this mod community. We're all doing this for the community. We're doing this for each other. There was this unspoken, not rule, but concept of camaraderie where, hey, we're all enjoying this together. And now some people are saying, hey, you know what? I've done work. I deserve to cash in on this. And some people feel that's a betrayal of the core principles of the community, of the modding community in a way. So I'm just curious what your take is on that.
So I have to look at this from a few different viewpoints. My main take would be, when I was younger and less financially stable, I would be like, yep, no, mods shouldn't cost any money. But so like you guys know, you watch all the shorts that Adam and I do and that we put together. And I use some software called 4K Downloader, which allows me to download B-roll from YouTube. And 10 years ago, I would not have paid this guy for his software. He allows it free use for up to 30 videos a day. But I'm like, man, this is really good. It's really fast. It's much easier than paying something like Artlist.io or other sort of B-roll companies to get video. And especially YouTube is YouTube, right? It's the second most visited site in the world. So this is everything that we need to make good content for you guys. But look, yeah, no, I think mods should be paid right now. At 40 years old, turning 41 in 3 months, I would pay for mods. Yeah, why not? And at the same time, like, it's sort of, this also ties into, if you're not American, this might be a little bit weird, but if you are American, you would be aware of like the argument in the States about the NCAA or NC. I don't know how many A's are in there, but there are a few A's. But it's basically, if you're a college athlete in America, right, and you win something, you're not allowed to take the money because of some rules. And maybe Adam might know more about that. And there was a lady earlier this week, she won like $90,000 for winning a tennis tournament, but she had to forfeit the money because being part of the NCAA means that she had to follow the rules, and we'll say as a college athlete, you can accept money. And a reporter I follow for work, Eric Balchunas from Bloomberg, was like, that's ridiculous. And I'm like, that is ridiculous. If you're doing the work, if you've been playing tennis since you were 5 years old for 6 hours a day, and you make 90K out of a tournament, you should get the money. And to me, why I bring this up is like modding's the same way. If you put in hundreds of hours or thousands of hours to make a mod and you want to sell it, yeah, go ahead. Why not?
Yeah, I think there's an argument to be made on both sides. I'd be really curious. I'm really disappointed Antoine's not here because I feel like he would have a lot of opinions on this, because to him, modding is, we've talked about it in the past, modding is a huge thing to him and it's very important and very dear to him. So I'd be really curious to hear his take on it. It doesn't look like he's in the chat, or maybe he's just having a coughing fit. I don't know. But yeah, okay. So what about, for example, was it Fallout 4 when they released the community mods? And they said, okay, we're going to have these community mods, but you have to pay them, but they're officially endorsed by Bethesda. How would you feel about something like that? Do you think mods should be, if somebody's working on the mod, do you think that they should be getting the full profit? Or do you think that somebody like, say, Bethesda, who provided the platform for them to use a mod, or a platform for them to make mods for, do you think like it's fair for them to take a cut of that? Or
I think I remember, like with Skyrim, there was like a similar thing when they came out with like community mods, and there was like a horse armor and other sort of weird stuff, and it was like $25 for the mod package. And I'm like, that's crazy, but people paid money for it. And if people are willing to pay money for it, why not? As long as the original creators get some sort of cut, I'm happy with that. If it's just Bethesda taking all the money, no. They are doing the work of putting it into a package, making it easy for you to download, so you don't have to download 5, 6, 7, 8 disparate things and potentially damage your system or damage your computer. I think, yeah, it's definitely worth it and totally acceptable by my standards.
Yeah, I'm on the fence because things like that, like, for example, okay, so something like, say, YouTube, right? So YouTube, you need to, if there's an advertisement, if you're monetized on YouTube, we can make us some money, or Kick or Twitch or any of these things, right? We can make money, but because we're using their platform, they get a cut of it, right? So for example, with Twitch, right? Maybe not YouTube as much because they have to pay server fees to store these videos and whatnot. But with Twitch, with something that's being basically streamed live and it's going to be disappearing in a few days, they're going to take a cut of, because you're using their platform to distribute. And yeah, in a way, I know a lot of people are saying like, oh, hey, it's wrong for these companies to cash in on the, if this person releases a mod on Nexus Mods, then it's up for free. But I could see an argument that a company could say, and I don't necessarily agree with this, but I could definitely see an argument for somebody like Bethesda or Project CD Red or some of these companies saying, hey, we're going to add mod support, but your mods have to be done through the in-game engine. If that's in the terms of service, if you add mods outside the in-game engine, then you're basically voiding your gaming license or whatever. But I could see there being a legal argument for something like that, where they're saying, hey, we're providing you the platform. We deserve a cut of this because you're profiting off of our material. Similar to why YouTube does things like, when like content strikes or whatever, right? If I'm using content owned by Disney and I'm using their characters to create my own content or whatever, I'm using their clout or their fame and I'm benefiting from it. But they can come in and they can say, no, we demand some or all the profits in some of Disney's cases, probably. But yeah, I think it's an interesting topic. I'm of the older classical concept of honor among thieves. We're all doing this together. We're all in this together. I would prefer to see more. What was it, that kid that did the Skyrim mod and he got really big and ended up landing him a job at Bungie, if I remember correctly?
Oh, I don't remember.
Did you hear about that?
But I know there was like a Starfield or Skyrim guy who did the declutter something or the other for Skyrim, and he was hired for Starfield to implement the same technology into Starfield.
Yeah, I remember it was a case a while back because there was a kid who really wanted to work at Bethesda. He loved Bethesda. He really wanted to work there. And he did a mod, and the mod was fairly popular. I don't remember which mod it was, but then he ended up not getting a job at Bethesda, but he did get a job at Bungie. Bungie saw his work, and they were like, hey, this kid knows what he's doing. Let's hire this guy. So yeah, for me, I'm more in that kind of line where mods would be kind of like building your portfolio for working at a larger company. But I think there are arguments to make that people should get paid for their work and whatnot.
I mean, there are lots of platforms for people to be supported. Patreon, something, coffee, something or the other, which is like Patreon. There's so many ways that you, as a programmer or artist or someone, can be paid some money.
Oh yeah.
To and there are like loads of mods which have gone on to become official games, like Dota mods and Skyrim mods and stuff. There's XCOM
mods.
Dota was a
mod.
Yeah. Oh, Dota was a mod. Exactly. So yeah. Adam, before we end off today, I did want to ask you about what was the end of Armored Core like, so we can put that into another short.
So the end of Armored Core is, what exactly are you asking? I'm sure you're not asking what's the story, right?
No, I'm not asking what's the story, but good thing you did ask. Like, what was the feeling about the end? Did it meet your expectations? How did you feel when the game ended? Was like, yes, this was worth the money that I paid, the time that I paid. I'm looking forward to Armored Core 7, or this is done, but I wish they would make X changes before number 7.
Okay. How do I word this? I would still say that if I was going to rank my top Armored Cores, I don't think Armored Core 6 would make my top 5. Not because it's not a good game. It's a fantastic game. I'm absolutely loving it. It's just that when I came into Armored Core, I came into it wanting a certain thing. The original ones delivered that. I feel they delivered what I wanted more than Armored Core 6, because I feel like Armored Core 6 does take it in a new direction. It is more, it's not entirely Souls-like, but it is more Souls. One of the things that I was saying to Crean, and I've said this a couple times, is I feel like Armored Core originally, if you go back and you look at the original Armored Core, Armored Core 1 on the PlayStation, the original PlayStation, it says on the back, right there, you can see it. It says over 300,000 combinations. And the fact to me that they were advertising this many combinations, they're saying you can build whatever you want. And to me, that was the customization was a big part of it. And seeing games like Souls or Sekiro, not so much, because Sekiro, there is no build. Your play is Sekiro and you play through it. And that's why a lot of Souls people don't like Sekiro. A lot of people do, but then there's a lot of people in the Souls community that don't like it. You can't build. You can't overlevel. You can't do a lot of the things that you can do to make the game easier. It's just there's only one way to play the game. And a lot of people don't like that. And so the Souls games have a reputation for being quote unquote get good. But then people will immediately turn around and say, put in these stats, use this weapon, build this meta. And to me, it's why would you tell somebody says, I don't like this game. I wish it was easier or I wish it was more accessible. And you tell them, too bad, that's a skill issue. You need to get good, but do exactly this. Like that defeats the whole purpose, right? Then I'm not playing my game, I'm playing your game. And to an extent, Armored Core 6, I feel, goes more in that direction where it's saying, build the mech for this situation, as opposed to in the older games where it was build your mech, and maybe it's not going to work in every situation, but you can find a way usually to make your style work. If you want to be a close range guy, you can usually make that work. If you want to be a long range guy, you can usually make that work. So I am really enjoying it. I'm enjoying the building now that I have a better understanding of how parts work and what to build for. I'm enjoying it in the sense that it's easier. I would prefer that they go back to the old, more mech warrior style of you build what you want and just raffle stomp everything. But I don't see them going back in that direction. As in terms of the end game, basically it is interesting because you go through the game. There are certain missions where it'll give you a little icon on the mission. You'll have two, and each mission will have a little icon. And that means that you can only do one of these two missions. You know, you can only pick one. If you pick one, it'll lock out the other. And that's usually because you're going to have to pick a side. Are you going to work with Archibus or are you going to work with Balaam? And if you work with one, then you're going to be attacking the other. So basically, these two missions are usually related. So when you beat the game, you can obviously go through and do those other missions that you didn't play the first time. But it also changes up the story a bit where, for example, in a pretty early mission, you play through it the first time, you join these two other ACs. You go through the mission, you're supposed to destroy these generators. You destroy them, the mission's over. Beat the game, new game plus, go back, play the exact same mission. And halfway through the mission, you get a transmission, somebody saying, hey, we'll pay double what they promised you if you take out these two other ACs rather than taking out our generators. And you have a choice from the get-go to complete the exact same mission in a completely different way. So it is definitely worth playing through multiple times. I think there's three endings. So I've only gotten the first one, obviously, so far. But yeah, I am really enjoying it. I do plan on getting all three endings, so I am playing through it again. And yeah, I would say depending on what you want, if you want a challenge, if you want to play a mech game, worth it. If you want to play build your own mech in the same sense that maybe the older ones were or Mech Warrior was, or if you're somebody who doesn't have a lot of time to figure out some of these mechanics, I do want to make a video that kind of explains what all the stats mean so you can have a better idea of, oh, that's why I should use this booster with this melee weapon. I do want to make a video on something like that. I feel that if you're the kind of person who just wants to plug and play and don't have a lot of time to invest in that, it's going to be a struggle and I might not recommend it. Yeah.
Okay. And just looking at Steam on Monday, I remember seeing Armored Core is in the top 10 most played games on Steam still, which is still pretty impressive for that. I'm looking forward to whatever video you decide to make, if you do make it. And so you're still streaming Armored Core, right? And I think you'll be streaming Armored Core for the rest of this month, perhaps?
At least until Phantom Liberty comes out. When Phantom Liberty comes out, I'm really hoping that I can get my third playthrough done by Phantom Liberty, because if I don't, then I'm going to have a really hard decision to make. And as Korean pointed, as Korean put on, what was it, Twitter, if people want me to play Sea of Stars, let us know and I'll play that one. Currently, the plan is finish Armored Core, then to Phantom Liberty. But if we get people commenting saying they want to see Sea of Stars instead, that will definitely be a consideration.
Yes. And I'll even put this another way, because I know sometimes it's irritating to comment. So another way that you can tell us what you want Adam to stream or play, or even me to stream, right? I'll be streaming Starfield tomorrow, or day two of Starfield, because I'll be playing Starfield later on today. If you do have something, right, just show us by the likes, right? Like the videos that gets the most likes. Let's say if a particular video hits 2K on Instagram or 5,000 views on YouTube, I think we will take that as a signal that we should be streaming that game. And let us know and we'll purchase it, because we have some funds now thanks to Facebook and YouTube and getting money from that. So let us know.
And a lot of these games anyway.
So yeah, we'll definitely would love to share these with you guys. And especially if you're on the fence about buying them or purchasing them or what the performance is like, I'll be letting you guys know maybe a little bit later today, what is the performance of Starfield like? I have upgraded to the latest drivers, so hopefully things run perfectly. My computer has not been behaving the best, but we'll see. So yeah, so to summarize, yep, Adam, Armored Core, so check that out for streaming. You can check me out on Starfield once a week for the moment. I'll see if I have time to stream more than once a week. But yeah, and then yeah, hopefully we'll have Antoine on next week. He was sick. Hopefully he'll be recovered by then. We'll see. And then we'll see you guys same time next week for more news, more stories, and more games.
Yep. See you then.